Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show, where ordinary heroes tell extraordinary stories during unique and never been heard before conversations with your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Hillary's unique listening and way of asking questions results in conversations that aren't usually talked about, so you can create the life that you really want but are afraid you can't really have. We are demonstrating the greatness in the human spirit and creating a world where we all reclaim our birthright of joy, happiness, purpose, and passion. Now, here's your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show. And before I introduce our incredible guest today, we are going to watch a short video.
I'm a sorceress. I'll get you with my sweet caress. I'm a sorceress. I bewitched you, I confess. I'm a little witch.
A witch.
I can make your body twitch. I'm a little witch.
A witch.
You're stuck with me and you can't switch. I can take any form I want. Fly up by my witch's broom. I can cast a spell on you and keep you captive always in my room. I'm a little witch.
Well, are you inspired? I am certainly inspired by Ildi Lee. She is a singer, songwriter, an author, a wife, a mother. As you see, she was on America's Got Talent. She has her own movie coming out and her own book coming out. And that's all at the very young age of 82. Welcome, Ildi Lee. Hello.
Hi. Well, thank you for the wonderful introduction.
Yes, and I forgot to tell them that you were a teen, what was it, a teen pop star when you were a teenager in Paris?
Teen star, yeah.
Wow. So what did you do? You were like a dancer or a singer or everything. I know. I saw you in it looks like 60s outfits. Was
yes.
that in the 60s?
60s, yes, yes.
Yeah, well, if you've ever
or the 60s actually. It was in the 50s.
It was in the 50s. Well, the outfits looked like the 60s, right? You had the big hair and the dresses. Yeah. So how did you become that? How did you become a pop star?
Well, first of all, I had a very, very sad childhood in Hungary. And we were occupied during the Hungarian Revolution. After the revolution, we left our country. And we were extremely poor in the beginning. We went to France, where my father, he was a lawyer. Actually, he was practicing law in three countries and three languages. He spoke eight languages. Unbelievable man. But anyway, so we had a very, very difficult times to start our lives in poverty. And I was a very sad, lonely teenager. But when I got a guitar for my 16th birthday from my dad, that changed my life. And I started to write songs. And I became a teen star. I won a competition. I had my first kiss from Salvador Dali. That was a whole.
Wow.
So I became a star in France. And
did you? Yeah. Did you teach yourself the guitar? How did you learn?
I taught myself. I had a good teacher myself. And I was not very good. I was in the guitar. It was enough to do little songs. And actually, that's which is really interesting, that I was not a great singer. I was not a great guitarist. I was a very good songwriter. And I brought something to people because I had little braids there, and all the mothers wanted their daughter to be that idealistic as that little refugee, Hungarian refugee girl in the television. So I brought something that people, it touched people's lives, especially my songs. So that's what I keep doing through my songs. I want to make a difference in life. And I do believe that one person can make a difference.
Wow. So how did you actually go from receiving a guitar to being on TV? Like, how did that happen?
I had my, there was a contest, a television contest, and I won that contest. And the biggest recording mogul, Eddie Barclay with the Barclay Records, he saw me and he signed me up, and I had my first record, and a teeny record for teeny girls, and it became one of the number one on the radio, and so it started my my career.
And oh my God!
For the little Hungarian refugee girl who was dressed by the Red Cross, I was so poor, I became somebody. And it was just magnificent. And I decided that one day, when I am going to be famous, then I will never forget how poor we were. And I will never forget that there are people out there who needs your help. Mm. And I'm trying to help with anything and everything I do, my writing, my singing, my books, everything. I want to serve. Mm. I want to give back society that for the chance I've been given, because I've been given a tremendous chance.
So when you were in Hungary before you had to flee, were you poor there?
Yes, we were. We lost everything to, you know, when in the communism, it was, we call it communism, but it actually was like a state
occupation.
Yes. So, yes, we lost everything. So we were struggling.
But originally, your father was a lawyer, you were fine, right? It was only when the war came, the revolution, or the, or was it World War II?
Well, over the World War II, we were living in Yugoslavia. So he was in the Yugoslavian army fighting against Hitler. And there was, this is my, what my first book is all about. It is starting with the Nazism, then the communism, and then the free world. And this book, actually, hopefully it will become a film. And the biggest problem that I had in my life is, you know, Sonic Picture Classics CEO, Michael Baker, he was so interested in, he was, okay, how can I put it?
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. Right there.
I said, he was so interested in my book and he wanted to have it, but it was not finished yet. So I didn't want to give it to him. So we were doing a tug of war with the book. And then he said, he took the book and he went to the bathroom. And he said he'll be back. And he said that he's going to have a telephone call. But he took the book. I went to the bathroom, and going to the bathroom, I see him reading my book in front of me. And he didn't see me. I just saw behind. And he came back and he wanted to have the book. And I didn't want to give it to him. And so he said, listen, get yourself a producer, a television, a film producer. Get yourself a good script and come back and see me, and we're going to sit down and discuss it. The CEO of Sony Picture Classic, I mean, you can get to him no matter what.
Yeah. Well, how did you meet him?
It was, I was covering the Oscars for the television show for Hungary. And that was an Oscar night. That was a night where I was seated next to Gene Simon, you know, Kiss. I sent you a picture on that too. Wow. And that was an interesting night. And so he walked around the whole evening with my flyer, this flyer, in his hand. You can see him standing there with my flyer. So I got my flyer. And also, I have the synopsis in the back. So he still had the story.
Now, is the book already published or it's coming out?
No, book is not published. Actually, I am looking for a publisher. Hello, people out there.
All right, good. So she's looking.
Published first and then do the film.
Okay. Wow. Amazing. All right. So we skipped. So, all right. So back to you. So that's all in the book. How you got out of Hungary and got to Paris. Okay. Right. What did you do after you were a teen star? What did you do next?
Well, when I was already pretty famous, I had a television show in Munich, Germany, and I met my husband there. And before that, I was poisoned by my understudy as a star of a musical. And I was between life and death in the hospital for months because my liver was totally gone. And I decided that this tinsel life is not for me. I wanted to have a husband and children like everybody else. And that was a time when I was performing in Munich and met my husband. And so I got married. I came out here to the United States and I had two beautiful, beautiful children. Tracy, my daughter, who is a professor she's teaching at the most famous university in the world, Harvard University in Boston, mm-hmm. and my son, and also she's beautiful. She's beautiful and a good person. And my son is a writer and he lives in Chicago.
Mm. Wonderful. And
so when the children flew the coop, then I came back to my love, which is performing, writing, and but before that, actually, I built a home for we have here in Palos Verdes, we have an art center. Mm. And the art center fundraised with that home, and they raised $1.5 million. I'm going to send you a picture, I don't have it here right now, of the home that I built. So that was already something. I remodeled and built 5 homes in 2 continents. So that's how we have this beautiful home here. I started out with a small one. I remodeled, we sold it. We got double for the price. Then I got a bigger one, until with a small budget, I created a palace.
Wow.
So you have to be creative in life. And that's something that everybody can do out there. You know, you buy something, a little apartment, you remodel with a good, beautiful, make it beautiful, sell it, double it, and here we go.
Wow. Now, can I ask you a couple questions that are... When you said you were poisoned by your understudy, How did she do, she, I'm assuming it was a she, and did she go to jail?
No, because there was no evidence. So she was a girl who wanted to have my role, and she was my understudy. And in Bordeaux, which is a French city, she had relatives, and she wanted to have my role. And she asked me, would you let me do that night? And, you know, I was young, and I wanted to... I today I would just say, oh yeah, sure, do it. But at that time, I didn't want to give up my role. And so one night, it was a few days before, and one night she was very nice to me, and I was thinking, well, you know, she's a nice person, and she invited me for dinner. And I remember that I went to the bathroom, and I came back. And after I started to feel really sick. And the next day, that's where we were in touring. And next day we get to Bordeaux. And at Bordeaux, I am still going on stage, but I was really sick. I'm really sick. And the next thing, I probably fell, but the next thing was I saw her walking in the dress that
you were supposed to wear?
Dior dress that she was walking on my dress into, and then I blocked out. They took me to the hospital, and I was hospitalized for months because my liver was totally gone. So, but liver, it grows.
Regenerates, yeah.
Yeah. So,
but ever so they since, never caught her? They never no, could prove?
There was no evidence.
Did she ever admit doing it?
But, you know, karma is unbelievable. And that's what, at my age, I saw so many different moments when karma really works. Maybe 20 years later, but it really gets to you. And if you do good things, you're going to have nice things in life. If you have nasty, good, bad things, it's going to catch up with you. So one day I was walking in Shaw Paris to my friends, American friends, and we go to Pigalle, and in those nude place, who do you see? That girl, she was starring in a nude third grade awful thing. Oh. So karma got her. I didn't want anything bad to happen to her because that's not who I am. Mm-hmm. But that was an interesting moment in my life. But everything has a reason. Yeah. And the reason for that was so I realized I don't want this life. I want a family. I want children.
So how did you meet your husband? Was he from California? Where was he from?
He was from California. He was a lawyer for, he was in Munich to save an airline. And oh. And so it's very interesting because the night before I performed in the Bayerischer Hof Hotel, which is the biggest hotel in Munich, and the night before I had a television show, and after my television show, I went down to the nightclub with a friend of mine, and I put on a black wig because I didn't want people to come and get autograph and all that stuff bothering. So I put a black wig on, and there is this American guy who is with a big hair like a Beatles head, and he's coming and he's taking me to dance. So we danced and we were going crazy. And then after, I said to my friend, when that crazy American comes back, don't let me go because he doesn't speak French. I don't speak English and that we can't communicate. But I went to dance with him and it was a slow dance and it was very nice. And somehow the next night, he invited me with his friends, airline friends, to dinner. I took my portfolio with my dinner because I wanted him to see I am not an easy girl. I am a star, and you're not going to have what you want out of me. So, and then And there was one of the lawyers who was the translator between us, so we could communicate this way. And then the next day we went to ski, and he was singing opera all the way. We could not talk to each other. And lo and behold, I was next time, I came to America in a cruise in my Miami, and he stopped in Miami to meet me. And we fell in love, and that there. And he asked me to marry him. And I didn't speak English, and he didn't speak French. And there was no problem. We couldn't, you know, I mean, just smile. It was crazy, totally crazy.
Oh, and you got married.
We got married. He was, later, he became president of McDonnell Douglas, but he was just a lawyer for McDonnell Douglas. So the owner of McDonnell Douglas was our best friend. We went on a airplane full of McDonnell Douglas people, and we got married in Las Vegas.
Wow.
Where the stars are married. So... you know, when your wife doesn't speak a word English, when you come home with lipstick on your neck, nobody, you know, nobody's asking you, where were you? So our marriage was fantastic. I just smiled, and that's it.
But he didn't come home with lipstick on him, did he?
I'm just joking.
So when did you learn English? Later, as you went?
Well, I went to UCLA, and I took classes and psychology and songwriting, actually. So
that's a great story. So how many years have you been married now?
We got married in 71. So
81, 91, 2000. 53 years. Wow.
53, yeah.
That's amazing.
Well, ups and downs, you know, it's like in life. No, nothing is easy. Nothing is given. You have to fight. But we're still good friends.
So when was that? Was that before you were poisoned or after?
It was after.
So after you were better.
I really wanted to stop this life and have a family.
Yeah. And there he was. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Where was the city where you were poisoned? That was in Munich also?
No. That was in France. That was with the very world famous singer Tino Rossi. Tino Rossi was the star of the show. And okay. I was the soubrette, which is like the funny lady.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
And it was in Provence, Salon de Provence, where I got sick.
Wow. So then how'd you end up in Munich?
I was still, when I got back, I was still, this was my life. I was still doing what I did. But I longed. That was a moment when I decided that I want to get married.
Wow.
So I had it in my mind.
Amazing. And were your parents still around?
Hit me, unless.
Yeah, good. Well, he did. He gave, right?
Yeah.
Did he ever say, what am I doing? I don't speak English, or no?
Yeah, he said to John McDonald, you know, the older McDonald, he says, my God, I don't know what I'm doing. And John said, that's okay. She's okay.
Wow. But you did it. Wow, that's amazing. In Las Vegas. So were your parents still alive then?
My parents were alive, yes, but they couldn't come for personal reasons. My dad was not very well that time.
Oh. So did they meet your husband?
Yes, yes, yes. Okay.
Did you go see them after?
Yes, we went.
Oh, good. Good. Oh, did they stay in France?
Loved George very much.
What'd you say?
They loved George. Like
And did they stay in France, your parents?
Yes.
They did. Okay.
My father became a professor at the Sorbonne he spoke 8 languages and he was a international lawyer, and he was honored. And then also he opened his own law office later, but he never made much money. Professors in France are not very well paid.
Wow.
So
they were still poor at the end?
Pardon?
They were still poor at the end? They never...
They were okay, but not rich, no.
Yeah. Wow, okay. All right, so you got married, you went to California, you learned English, you had kids, and then what?
And then when the kids... Wow, I'm coming back. And so don't ever give up your dreams, because that's who I am. I am a songwriter. I am a musician. I am a poet. And I'm a writer. And all this came out afterwards. Hard work. I am working like probably 14 hours a day, sometimes around the clock. And because I was a television host in Hungary, and that was a night here for me, so I became a night owl. I go to bed until 4 or 5 o'clock, or some 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning, depending on, so I work all night. Night is very good to work because you're not distracted. You know, it's dark around you, except the light is on your work. And so I like to work at night.
So were you a Hungarian show host from California?
Yes. I did my show. I broadcasted from my house. It's a beautiful house right on the ocean. So it was beautiful to see in different places. Actually, you can see some of those on, I have also a Hungarian YouTube channel. But on my American YouTube channel, you can see that, including a lot of vlogs. And, you know, I am dedicating the rest of my life. I don't know how much I still have, but I'm dedicating it in helping people. I want to inspire people to reach their potential, because by sharing all my hardship in life, I want them to make it easier to get to their goals. This way, by learning what I did wrong or what I did right also. So I want to inspire people. One of the things is I have vlogs on YouTube, and if somebody is interested to know how come I have so much energy, because on stage I am still dancing and moving and and I work all night. I had my dancers here. We worked like for 6 or 7 hours, and they were young and they were all dead. And when they left, I had 7 or 8 more hours during the night to work. So much energy. So if you guys out there want to know, then go in my vlog on YouTube. The vlog number 5 is about happiness, which is very important, because if you are happy, then you can do so much more. And you can be happy no matter what life gives you to you. You can find your happiness. So go and see. I have like 15 or 17 important points that you can.
What's the name of that YouTube channel where they can find you?
Ildi Lee, my YouTube channel.
Okay, Ildi Lee.
And then put California Vlogs.
Okay, California block.
And the number five is happiness. Okay. Then there is number six, I think, is longevity, which is also important. Mm-hmm. Then there is one about love. And the most important, probably of all of them, is about optimism. Because believe it or not, I mean, okay, what do you think? What is the number one factor in longevity? Number one. You're not going to... Everybody thinks is lifestyle, right?
I was going to say breathing.
Yeah. But besides that, the lifestyle, everybody thinks. And of course, lifestyle is very important. Not smoking, you know, doing the right things for your body. But there is one is scientifically proven now, is optimism. Mm. Optimism. So this video is going to blow your mind, because I have an example for optimism. I am not even going to say it. It's go and see it. It's unbelievable.
Okay. All right. Good. So we will put the notes in the, you know, the links in the show notes. So
okay. I'll send you.
Yeah. All right. Awesome. All right. We're going to take our commercial break, and then we're going to come right back. All right. Okay. See you in a minute.
Has social emotional learning become just one more thing on your teacher's plates? Do teachers and students both find it boring and ineffective? Then bring Kikori to your school. Kikori transforms classrooms through experiential SEL activities that help students play, reflect, connect, and grow. Even better, students say it's more fun than recess. Schedule a no-obligation conversation at kikoriapp.com/bringkikori. KIKORI.
Do you ever feel like you can't say what you really want to say? Or that you're stuck or in a holding pattern in your relationships, career, personal life, or finances? Are there things you want in life that you've given up on? Are you resigned that this is as good as it's going to get? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then Hillary Burns, host of the Getting Real with Hillary Show, has the solution you need. Hillary is a published author of 3 books and has a program called the Getting Real Process. This process frees you from what is holding you back, allowing you to create a life you love. Don't believe it? It is hard to believe that it could work, isn't it? The proof is that hundreds of Hillary's clients have used the Getting Real process and are now free to create whatever they want in relationships, career, finances, enjoying life, or just loving themselves more. So go to realtalkwithhillary.com and order Hillary's book, Real Talk, and set up a conversation.
Welcome back to the Getting Real with Hillary show and our special guest, Ildi Lee. But before we bring her back, I'm going to give a special thanks to our sponsor, KikoriApp.com. If you'd like to bring experiential social emotional learning to your schools so that your kids can have a chance to get back their emotional connections and social connections that they may have lost during COVID, go to KikoriApp.com and schedule a consultation. It will change your children's lives, probably give the teachers a better lives, and make your school a better place for everyone. And as always, I would like to promote my books. This one, you saw the commercial. If you're someone who just is afraid to speak up like I was, go to realtalkwithhillary.com and schedule a time to talk. It's not easy, but we can do it together, and you will have a life you don't recognize, and it's really fun when you start speaking up. This one is about, I always thought there was kind of two sides to life, as Ildi was talking about optimism. Well, on the left side of life, I had none. It just looked bleak. And then I saw there was a fun side of life too. And so I developed techniques for spending less time on the left and more on the right. And I wrote them about this. It really helps me to even reread this and remind myself how to do that. And then this was my very first book, The Second Piece of French Toast. The subtitle is, If Marriage Was My Dream, Why Was I Numbing Myself? And this is my story from when I woke up one day and thought, what the heck happened to my life? And it's the process of how I went about getting my own self back and the self that I was afraid I had lost. So if you're someone like that, you can find all of them on Amazon. You can Google or search Hillary A. Burns, Hillary Arno Burns, or The Second Piece of French Toast will bring them all up. It's great reading, and you will be inspired, like Ildi is also an inspiration. And now we're going to bring her back to the studio. Hello.
Hello, Hillary. Well, I didn't know this. But it's wonderful. You are an author yourself.
Oh, yeah. And,
looks like we are working toward the same goal to make this place, this earth, a little better place to live in and to each other.
Yeah, and I was stuck. I was really stuck. And I thought, you know what? If I can pull myself out of it, then I was willing to put, you know, some real stuff out on the page, which took some courage. But I thought, you know what, if I can inspire at least one person to find themselves, then I was willing to, you know, be vulnerable. So that's what I did with my first book. Yeah.
Good so for you. Yeah. This is wonderful to hear. So that's why we met. There is a reason for people to meeting, you know, definitely. There is a pattern. There is a reason.
So. Yeah. And also because my grandmother was Hungarian. So I feel like we might have been.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Amazing. That's amazing. And the fact that you are an author, let me tell you, I am president of the Southwest Manuscripters. As I told you earlier, Ray Bradbury was one of our member for 50 years member. And we were extremely successful and big. And then during the pandemic, we lost each other. So I am reconnecting right now as a president, and I am getting people together. And we meet once in our library here, locally, and the second month we meet on Zoom. I want to make the Zoom meeting every month. And I am offering right now a free membership to all the authors because I want to get people back to their organization. And it would be wonderful if you could be our member or maybe even come and talk to us about your books.
Sure.
In one of the Zooms. So this is wonderful.
And what is the purpose of the organization? And it's the Southwest.
It's a purpose is to help each other, to encourage each other. In the first part, we share our rejections or our success. And we have a 3 to 5 minutes speech, so you can read your material, and we can give you some feedback, or just have some outsider, famous people who would talk to us, and camaraderie and family, and we have a lot of fun. I have a wonderful video. I'm going to send you the link. That tells us a little bit about.
Awesome. So you do a lot of things, right? That's one of them. I know you had said you also, you did something with the orphanage, right? You raised money for an orphanage.
Yes, my songs are always helping people. And I wrote a song about a blind guitar player. When I heard that the wife of the Americana Airlines at that time, she sponsored children, orphan and blind children, but they ran out of money. And so she said, anybody, please contribute with $5 or whatever, everything counts. I said, well, I hear the song. We can make a fundraiser. And we made a fundraiser with the song. And we raised enough money to build that home for the blind children. So if I didn't do anything more in my life than just that one song, my life was already worth the while.
Wow. So how did people contribute? Like, how did you do it?
Well, we had a very big fundraiser in Long Beach at the Marriott Hotel. I was surprised because the children of this orphanage, they had huge pictures. And when we arrived to the hotel, you could see all the huge pictures hanging it was unbelievable. I said, oh, my God. And it was so big that the ambassador of Mexico was here, all the airlines, Mexicana Airlines. And so it was thousands and thousands of people, and it was very expensive for the dinner. And building a home there at that time was not that big money involved, so we covered it with one single night of fundraising.
And did you perform there?
Of course, I sang the blind guitarist. That's a beautiful song, by the way. You should listen to it.
Yes, I will. So, is that where can we find that on your YouTube?
We can find that on YouTube, and also. I it's on one of my put up CD out CDs.
Okay, cool. Wow. And where can they find those? Amazon?
Amazon. You can find it on let me see. Amazon, Spotify, okay. Apple Music. I think around 150 different sources.
All right, great. So if you want to hear the blind guitar player, you can find it.
Yeah.
Anyways. All right, awesome.
There are many, many other songs. I do have humanitarian songs to help people. I wrote a song about the muscular dystrophy, a boy who was dying of muscular dystrophy, and he was listening to it till the day he died, his life. So those are the things when you touch people like that, it's you feel. One of other songs, my songs is Helping the Homeless. The title of the song, The Old Man's Legacy. It's also on the CD. So if you listen to these CDs, not only you're contributing to my charities, but also you will feel richer just by listening to the stories. They're all stories, except a few that is just for fun. We need that too sometimes.
Yes, and if you've seen, well, you saw her on the first video, but when you see her, Ildi's energy, you can't believe that she's 82. She's just dancing and singing like she's 20 years old, right?
Right, actually.
Now, I have a question. How do you record a Hungarian TV show from California in the middle of the night? Do you have guests on? How do you do that?
I mean, what?
Do you have guests on, or is it just your show? Like, how do you do
that? No, I had a weekly show, and I had like a segment on that. It's like America.
Good Morning America.
Morning America, something like that. So I had a nice segment, like 20-minute segment, and on my segment, it was direct from here through the internet. And sometimes the connection was not very good, but most of the time it was okay. And I also prepared the whole week for that segment. Like I went out and took pictures of things that they were interested to see, like the lobster festival in the surf festival, things like that.
Okay. So you're not just sitting there talking. You're actually.
Oh no! I'm like a reporter. Yes.
Yeah. Oh wow.
Yeah.
For Hungary.
Yeah.
Did you do it in Hungarian?
Yes, in Hungarian. And there's some of them I want to right now, when I have a little time, I would like to translate it and put it on the YouTube and English too. But they are all on my Hungarian YouTube site.
That's amazing. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of people would love to do the things you've done, but maybe they think, oh, I can't, or, you know, how would I have a show? Like, how did you make all that happen? You know, what do you think your secret is?
The first, I want to say that I am not any more special than anybody out there. You guys all have the same attributes that I have. I just worked a little harder. For instance, I don't take vacations. Probably in the last 20 years, I didn't go take a vacation. I work and work, but I love to work. I love what I do. So you have to find something that you love mm-hmm. to do, because then the morning there is something what you get up for. It's extremely important. So people have to understand that they all have the same abilities I have. They just have to, I don't have the vocabulary in English and it comes to me in Hungarian, to like get it out of yourself, self-inspiration, inspire yourself. There's a voice. We hear voices. We hear our parents say, "You can't do that. You don't do that. Don't." No, replace all the negative things that are in your head and say, "I can do it. Yes, I can. I can do it. Yes, you can."
So you, I know you. Okay, we forgot to cover. You were on America's Got Talent.
Right.
And there was 1.5 million people that you beat out to get on there. Now, do you think it was your attitude that I can do it that got you on there?
Who else could do? If you hear that there are 1.5 million people before you, there's no way you're going to try. But I believe that you have to believe what you're doing. If you believe what you're doing is valid, it's going to be valid. I don't know who said that if you think you can, or if you say you cannot, in both cases, you are right.
Mm-hmm. So what did you have to actually do to get on America's Got Talent? Did you have to audition, or did you send in a recording? Like, how did you get on the show?
I sent in a recording, and they loved it so much that I didn't have to pre-audition like everybody. I had the red carpet. My producers couldn't believe it. I had the red carpet, and right away I got to the producers, and they said, "Okay, let's see," and we choose what we're going to do. I tell you how, and probably that helped because I am also an Elvis impersonator. I have an Elvis show that has a 1-hour show that is based on the beautiful love story between Elvis and Priscilla, based on Elvis's hit songs. So that's something that makes people laugh and bring them to tears. It's very emotional. And when I am on stage in the costume and with the Elvis voice, I'm singing also with Elvis voice. People don't see a woman. Somebody told me, and that was a beautiful compliment. He said, "I don't see a woman up there. I see a character. And so I become Elvis. And so I sent an Elvis song like that and other things. And they said, oh, my God, a woman, Elvis,
wow.
is almost 80 years old. We never saw anything like it.
So was that what you did on America's Got Talent? Did you do Elvis?
That is one thing. They didn't let me do the Elvis. Because Priscilla somehow blocked the TVs to do Elvis. I don't know what was going on, but that's what I was explained. So we had to find something else. And with the crew that I had, we find something else, which I started with a country song, with my own songs, and people went crazy in the audience. And then I take it off, and I am in mini with the red boots, with the mini, at 80 and moving like a teenager.
Wow. And now, is that on your website? Can people find that?
It's on my website. And Simon loved it. And so I titled this segment, Simon Loved Me, But. See the website, then you see the butt.
So if they go to her website, is hollywoodstarproductions.com, right?
Correct.
And they can find the Elvis show too. Where's the Elvis show?
The Elvis show, you know, is going to, why did I didn't put it on there. It's on YouTube.
Okay.
Ildi Lee YouTube. Okay. And then go to America's Got Talent. No, I think the title is probably Simon Loved Me, But.
Okay. All right, Simon. Okay. So some of her stuff is on YouTube.
I have 300 songs up on YouTube, so I can't remember all of them.
Right. No. That's okay. So some is on YouTube, Ildi Lee, and the other is on HollywoodStarProductions.com.
Yeah.
You can see the video that we saw today. And you can see her as a French pop star and just a whole life. And it's just unbelievable. So anyway.
Also, be my friend on Facebook.
Oh, okay. Well, how do they find you there? Ildi Lee?
Ildi Lee, yes. Just okay. Probably official. Ildi Lee official.
Okay.
Or on my private side also.
So you can friend Ildi Lee. Okay, what else? We have a couple minutes left before we wrap up.
Okay, so very fast, I wanted to say that don't ever give up your dreams because it's never too late. Look at me. I want to be the inspiration for everybody out there. At age 76, I became a TV host with the Good Morning America show. At age 80, a little bit before 80, I became an America's Got Talent. At 81, I released the CDs and albums, and I was on the cover of a very important magazine. And they give me 3 pages. And so here I am as a songwriter. And here is Elvis. As Elvis. So, and at 83, I'm going to be 83 in a few months. I am, believe it or not, I'm starting my career as a Hollywood film star. This is my headshot for the film. And wow. This is my character, Belinda. And this is really funny. What's really interesting about it, that when I finish my monologue, the crew applauded me. And so this is also...
Wow.
I don't know which way.
Well, that's good. That's good right there.
And we did the movie at my house. And the producer is a wonderful young Greek producer, Andoni Zorbas. And you're going to hear about him a lot because he's extremely talented.
So what's the name of the show? Can we find out yet?
The Dream.
The Dream?
The Dream.
Okay. Well, it'll be out then? in, when will it be out in, was it going to be in theaters?
Oh, absolutely. Not only in theaters, but it's going to be distributed mondially, internationally distributed.
Wow. Cool. Okay. Well, look for Belinda in the dream. All right. Now, so we have a minute left. What would you like to, I know you've already said, don't ever give up. What else, what would you like to see for the world? Like, what's your vision?
And just vision is believe in yourself. My vision is the most important thing in life is love. Love yourself and love others. I want people to unite instead of, you know, there is a big division out there right now. Unite, because we are all brothers and sisters and we are all working for the same thing. So let's be good, let's be kind, and let's be loving to each other. This is the most important thing. And one of my blogs is about love. Look at that. That's really interesting because you can learn to love. You can learn. So open your eyes. And I love you, all of you guys. You, Hilary, especially. Thank you for
being here.
Well, thank you. A piece of your life out there. I do too. And everybody should just be happy.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being with us today. It was awesome. And we look forward to seeing your book and your films and your CDs and all the stuff that you do. So thank you again. All right. Bye, everyone.
Love you. I love you guys.
Thank you for watching this episode. I started getting real with Hilary when I discovered that I was a people-pleasing, pleasant phony and wanted to be more of my real self. We can grow together. If you will like the show, subscribe to my channel, and share this episode with your friends and family so that we can have a world that's more real.